Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live to join Second Amendment Tuesdays. We're going to talk about Ward Byrd and the stupid law.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
And when I say stupid law, I mean a very specific statute that we'll talk about with attorney Penny Dean that helped get Ward Byrd put away. He's the man from Moultonboro who had a woman on his property, and his property was clearly posted no trespassing, and we'll let Penny tell the rest of the story right here. How are you today?
Well, I'm as well as I can be, given what's happened to poor Mr. Byrd, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I tell people all the time, is that this law, when it passed, okay, I told everyone, this is a really bad law. It's going to be used against gun owners. And people said, oh, poo-poo, Penny, this is a law because we want to be tough on crime. We want to stop those criminals from using guns. And, you know, this is going to do it. And I said, look, it's going to be a sword against gun owners. And sure enough, every self-defense case that I've done, that's involved, which is all of them involve firearms, of course,
mm-hmm.
The prosecution has used this to scare clients. So if you say to your client, look, if we lose this case, okay, you realize that you're going to go to jail for 3 to 6 minimum mandatory. And people go, wait a minute, but I defended myself. And I said, yep, you did. And yeah, I think you're right. But if you go to jail, okay, you are going to do a 3 to 6 because there was a firearm involved. And people, a lot of innocent people, sometimes take plea deals with the prosecution because they go, how am I going to go for 3 years without earning a living? How is my family going to go? You know, how is that going to work?
Mm-hmm.
And people, so you take a lot of what I call innocent, scary, horrible, horrible things to people. And so many, and the other thing is, you tell the average person you're going to have to spend the money that it takes to go to trial, and they go, I can't afford that. And
yeah,
they take a plea again. And so this Mr. Byrd, I have to say that he was a very, very brave man. He did the right thing. He stood up for himself. He said, look, this is self-defense. I did the right thing. But he took a huge, huge, huge risk. And unfortunately for him, you know, he's now going to prison for 3 to 6 years, and he doesn't deserve to go to prison. But the bottom line that we need to think about, this is an opportunity for us, as horrible as it is for Mr. Byrd, okay? This is an opportunity for the New Hampshire General Court to do what's right and remove that horrible, horrible, horrible law and make something. There are things that could apply to criminals, but the way it's used now, people with self-defense are facing that.
Right, and what had happened in this case, Penny, and you've been able to look at some court documents relating to this case, and the way that I know the story is this: there's a lady who went onto Mr. Byrd's property. The property was clearly posted, no trespassing. She went up there anyway. She was told by somebody else to get off of the property. She says no. He comes out. And he was carrying a firearm, not necessarily pointing it at her, but the fact that it was out of a holster became known as brandishing. And he says, look, get out of here. You don't belong here. Or some even stronger language to that effect has been quoted in various news stories. And you know, next thing you know, the police are called, and he's now sitting in the state prison in Concord. So, is that accurate?
Yeah, that's exactly accurate. But here's what's more troubling to me, okay, is that the rules of evidence are what I call a good thing and a bad thing, okay? The rules of evidence let people have fair trials in the sense there are certain bits of information the jury doesn't need to know about a person who's being tried, because what they'll do is think, okay, if you've done bad things before, you've done something bad now. But in this particular case, she was the alleged victim. And what the jury heard was that she was this nice girl. She wanted to buy some land to put animals on. Well, if you ask her about where she's going to get the money for this land, oh, she didn't have any money. She just wanted to get grants from the state and federal government to give her money for this land. But what's more important, she had been convicted of animal cruelty in the past.
Ah.
Okay, so is she this nice little girl looking for some land? I think not so much. But
did the jury get to hear?
They did not.
About the criminal past?
They did not.
See, and this is the second case in just about as many weeks that I have heard. There was another guy, Kevin Gay. I'll mention his name here. He was found guilty of a number of these environmental charges, and supposedly an informant that they used had some history, some criminal history, and the jury didn't get to hear that. So you can't question the credibility of the witness.
That's exactly, and that's,
and this
really,
man's looking at another 1 to 3 years in jail.
That's exactly right. But here's what's even more important to me in this particular case, is that according to everything I've read, including the opinion, okay, which means if the opinion quoted it, this is probably true and it's probably what happened. And I didn't see the trial, but I can only tell you that I can't imagine this is incorrect. And let me tell you what's really interesting. This woman supposedly mouthed, "You're an A-word," because I'm on the radio, I probably can't say the A-word.
Mm-hmm.
"You're an A-word" at him. Now, if you are mouthing "You're an A-word" at someone with a firearm, how afraid are you of that person? I'm thinking, just my opinion is, if I had a person that I believed was threatening me and going to scare me, okay, and that was going to shoot me, I wouldn't mouth at them, "You're an A-word," because they might really shoot me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but she, unfortunately for us, or unfortunately for him, she mouthed that word at him. So how scared was she? I think she was probably obnoxious, probably a less than nice person in this case. And the whole thing is, at least from my perspective, okay, is that this is a case, and it's an example of people needing to wake up. What rights do you have on your own property? You have self-defense. You have whatever, but if you can't really use it...
What good is the castle doctrine? You know, and we had that debate in this state when there was talk about expanding the castle doctrine. Thank you, Kelly Ayotte, for helping to get that one squashed.
Yeah.
You know, and then we say, oh, well, it's just fine the way the law is now. You can protect your own home. You can protect yourself in your home, you know, or on your property, whatever. And then here's this guy, Ward Bird, who does everything that he's supposed to. Post the property. The lady is told to get up. My understanding is when you're told to get off of someone's property, whether it is posted or not, the moment that you are told to leave, you must leave. Your failure to leave after you've been told to leave now constitutes criminal trespassing. That's what? My understanding. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, not if you're a girl that call the police and say, oh, but he pointed a gun, you know, because he has a gun. That's really bad, you know, and I think that's where we get back to is, if you cannot use a firearm when you need to use it, what darn good is it?
Yeah.
What is a practical matter? What darn good is a firearm if you can't use it?
I know.
You know, if you can't, and in this particular case, I think it is very, very sad what has happened to Mr. Bird, but I think the hue and cry, and I think the education that people are going to get out of this, okay, is a good thing, because this is a law that has been around way too long, okay, way, way, way too long. And the bottom line is, at what point are people going to do something about it? You know, at what point are people going to say, wait a minute, this law isn't working the way it was designed to do.
They need to change the law, very simple, and that is to call their legislators to do that. Now, Penny, in reading this the sentencing order of Ward Byrd from the Carroll County Superior Court, I have to admit I didn't read every single word on all six or seven pages of it.
Yep.
But my sense that I got out of this is that the court even had its hands tied in the sentencing, because Mr. Byrd had petitioned that he be given a sentence of home confinement with electronic monitoring, to which the court says, no, any sentence over a year in prison must be done at the state prison, and therefore that's where he must go. That the court, while it seemed to wish to either sentence him to the Carroll County House of Corrections or to the some other home confinement, they couldn't do so.
No, they couldn't, and that's exactly right. I had a similar case, and the person doesn't want their name used, but a similar case, or not even a similar case, and even when I say worse case, meaning better case, okay?
Okay.
Okay, and it came out of, Judge Coffey's courtroom, and people may make fun of Judge Coffey. I like Judge Coffey. By the way, she ruled against me every time, but I thought she was a fair judge. And here's what Judge Coffey said in the strongest possible language in her written order. She said, if I had my way, this person would not get one nanosecond in jail. But she said, I don't have my way. She said, the legislature has spoken. And she said, there's nothing that I can do about this. You know, she just literally said, she said, look, if I had my way, she said, I wouldn't do anything about this. This wouldn't happen this way, but I don't have my way. You know, I have to do what the law mandates, and I disagreed with her on what actually the law said, and the Supreme Court promptly made it very clear to me what the law said.
Yes.
and so, you know, and this paragraph was basically added around 1990, okay, 22G, what's called, this is RSA 652, Roman numeral 2, 2G.
652 added, or 651, Roman numeral 2?
I apologize. Did I say six? It's 651, colon 2.
Yeah.
Roman numeral 2.
That's it.
And then G.
Okay.
And so they have all these things. They try and confuse people. And if my memory serves me correctly, it was enacted around 1990. And I, at the time, like I said, I told people, I said, look, this is how it's going to be used. And I understand everybody wants to appear tough on crime and blah, 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 right? But then we look at how it really affects people. And for example, I tell people this. If you are ever charged in a self-defense shooting, or self-defense brandishing, you're almost always charged as a felon. And you have a firearm, you have just committed a felony, an element of which is the possession, use, or attempted use of a deadly weapon, and the deadly weapon's a firearm. Mm-hmm. And people go, no, that law's for criminals. And I say, well, that's what they said. But yet the prosecutors are using against you. And this is a case where, remember, that we elect our county attorneys, okay?
Yep.
And a county attorney has an absolute discretion in their county whether or not to prosecute something. So what people need to be looking at is that county attorney made the decision to prosecute this case. And so come election time, the question is, do you want to reelect that county attorney?
Oh, now the question comes up.
Well, but people should have been...
A couple of weeks late.
Right. But here's what I'm saying. I didn't know about the Ward Byrd case, okay?
I didn't either. It happened right while I was on vacation, and I come back home, and it's like, holy cow, there's my email lighting up on this.
But you want me to tell you what's funny? Gun owners in New Hampshire has received a bazillion calls, and here's what we said to each person that called. Are you a GONH member? Oh, you're not. Well, you would have known about this 10 years ago had you been a GONH member. You know, and they're telling us, and I said, you know, something needs to be done. I agree with this. But I said, here's the whole problem, is that we needed to do something a long time ago. And we at GONH, for example, have told people for years and years and years this needs to be dealt with. And sometimes we feel like we're the loneliest voice because people would say, where's their problem with that?
I got you. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number with Attorney Penny Dean here on Second Amendment Tuesdays on Bulldog Live with me, your host, Bulldog Brian Tilton. We'll continue this conversation right after this here on Bulldog Live on The Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on The Pulse.